flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways, and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
They're going to blow for full time right there.
It's time for a look back on today's match.
This is the Full Time Report, the home for MLS in Atlanta. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back to Finley Stadium here in Chattanooga. The full-time report on the Off the Woodwork podcast from 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. I'm Jason Longshore, Mike Conti here alongside for this opening segment. And Mike, I mean, these games are always weird with a lot of try lists. A lot of people had a lot of entertainment today listening to us, you with try list 31 and try list 19 and try list 18. And, you know, it's all we can do. That's what Chattanooga FC asked us to do. They haven't signed these guys to contracts yet. And I think, you know, to kind of finish all, or start off where we finished in the game broadcast, Atlanta United got outfought in some ways by a group of players who are fighting to earn contracts and earn a living here this summer in this stadium.
And quite frankly, I thought Atlanta United's best players on this afternoon were the ones in a similar position, like Dominic Chonqui, who's going to be with ATL UTD 2 this year, Luke Brennan, Matt Edwards trying to earn playing time with the first team. Those were the players who really stood out to me for Atlanta United today. So there was a lot of symmetry in that regard. I think this is a good wake-up call for Atlanta United. I don't think, and here we go again, here come the sunshine pumpers.
Oh, boy.
I don't think this is anything that really needs to be overreacted to from an Atlanta United standpoint. At this very early stage of the preseason, you've only been in training camp for about 10 or 11 days. You're trying to build a baseline of fitness. You had Chattanooga trialists who might have been a little more fit than you at the end of the game today. We'll have to ponder that. But these are fitness tests. You saw a lot of misconnections with passing in both halves of this game today. Saw a lot of sloppiness. The group that won the game for Chattanooga, very, very sloppy at the beginning of the second half of this game. So it just, it evolved very, very slowly. This is not in any way, shape, or form. Either lineup you saw for Atlanta today will not be the lineup you see on February 22nd. Fair play to Chattanooga. Is it a little embarrassing for Atlanta United? It might be, but it might be a necessary wake-up call that will propel them into the next couple weeks of training camp.
Yeah, I think when you look at the Atlanta United group today, you were missing Derek Williams and Pedro Amador that are currently on the roster. You're also missing two designated players. And look, that's going to be a big talking point until signings are made. And welcome to silly season if this is your first time. This is how these things go. You'll hear that a deal's done. Well, wait, it's not quite done. Well, it might be done. Well, now they're all talking. Now they've hit a stall. I mean, all the different chaotic things that happen in hashtag watch for whoever it is. And that's, look, that's where Atlanta United is. Is that a potential distraction for this team right now? I think that's a fair question. And it's a reasonable thing for it to be, because you're missing a number nine that you expect to start the majority of games. After Yorgos Yakimakis left, right now it's Jamal Tiare and it's Kamen Togashi, who I liked some things that we saw from Togashi for the first time today. I don't expect either one of them to be the regular number nine for this team when you get into the regular season. We've heard all the conversation. We've talked about it on this radio station with Miguel Almiron. It looked a lot like a farewell today at Newcastle. The way everything was handled, Eddie Howe, the manager at Newcastle United, said that that wasn't his intention exactly, but he's also very savvy with the media. It really looked like it. It seemed like it. All the things that we have heard about that, that feels like it's going to happen. Where he fits into this team, is it on the left? Is it as a 10? Does Moranchuk move over? Is it a little bit of some of that and a little bit of different things with Sabo, who can play all over that front group? It'll look really different when the games matter, but what stood out to you about this group today that you want to see improve next week in Birmingham?
Well, certainly the organization defensively, and especially that group in the second half, which again was Gregerson, Morales, and Cohen. And the two goals that Atlanta conceded with that group were very, very poor goals. They were broken plays.
Yeah. One's a set piece.
One is a set piece, but one was a clear miscommunication between the goalkeeper and the center back. That's going to happen in preseason, but you do want to see that cleaned up.
Yep.
Outside of that, it's a really good question, Jason, because I actually liked a lot of things that I saw today. I thought Atlanta was very, very cohesive going down the wings, down the right wing in the first half with Edwards and Brennan, going down the left wing in the second half with Mosquera and with Ronald Hernandez. I was very, very encouraged by that. I thought Click looked like he fit in very, very quickly with this group.
He did.
I just want to see a little more cohesion, and I want to see Atlanta United a little more clinical in the final third, but it would be hard to imagine that they would be very clinical on January the 25th with a group that is so early in training camp. But the quality's got to improve. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, I think in terms of position battles, you know, that's what we always like to talk about in preseason and with any team that we're talking about, position battles. I don't think Josh Cohen had a good day because of some of that communication getting dribbled by Ibarra in that moment. Does that open up a possibility for Jaden Hibbert to see a little more time? Maybe. He wasn't in training on Thursday. Maybe he would have factored in here if that was the case. But he was in training on Tuesday in the sessions that I saw this past week. Ronan Wynn, I think he gets the goal, and honestly, that doesn't really, you know, affect my opinion on him and his performance. I thought he was really good defensively. I thought he was even better getting forward, which I didn't really expect that much from him. You're talking about a longtime college player who was very good at Denver. New Zealand, came up in a professional academy, so he's got, I think, a level of soccer IQ that you might not see with your typical college player coming in. He looked like he belonged, and I think that combined with something that Ronnie Dyla said this week about not needing to play Noah Cobb at right back because he had plenty of fullbacks, I think Ronan Wynn is part of that conversation.
You certainly understand why he said that now, and again, I, you know, Matt Edwards was playing on the right side today.
He was good, too.
I thought he was very, very good. Yeah. I think you feel a lot more comfortable now because Brooks Lennon is going to be out, I don't know, maybe till April or May.
I don't know. He was, no, just full disclosure on that, like, you know, as I get there on Thursday at training in Marietta, he was working out on the side. He wasn't doing anything with contact, which you would expect with a shoulder, but he was running. He did look good. He posted pictures that he was back and he was happy. I don't know how long it takes for him to join the group. We were never really sure on the timeline there. I don't think anybody really was. A lot of it is just how he recovers. But I don't know how long he's going to be out. Hernandez, Edwards, and now maybe Wynn are going to be competing for that time at right back.
Yeah, but I'll look forward to seeing how that plays out as we cover the remainder of this preseason, because I think there is something there. I do agree. I mean, I think now you have to have the conversation about Jaden Hibbert. And that, by the way, the competition will be a good thing.
That's good. You know, it helps everybody.
I don't want to use the iron sharpens iron cliche, but it does help everyone. I think you have some competition in the midfield right now. I think you have four players for maybe two spots right now as far as your first choice is concerned.
Maybe even five if you include Riley in that conversation. Although as a 10, he looked pretty solid playing higher
like he
up
could
the field.
And I thought that was interesting that they went with Riley there instead of Fortune today. But it looked like he could play. Now, again, if Miguel Almiron comes in, all bets are off as far as how your central attacking midfielder.
Well, that could be Moranchuk too, and that's the fascinating thing. And look, when things happen, if they happen, and it sounds like they will, but they're not done yet, and you guys know how we have to dance around all of that. When those things get done, we'll talk more in depth about what that could look like and what it means. But central midfield, I'm with you. You've got a lot of depth. Sleash, Click, and I thought Click looked good and then maybe got tired. Fortune, who was up and down today. Muyamba, who I would say was up and down. I think Sleash was up and down as well. Those four guys with Riley potentially in that mix competing for two spots in the two sixes in a double pivot. It will be a 4-2-3-1 more often than not. That's a good area of competition. I think backup number nine, once you get your number nine starter, Togashi and TRA will be battling for time there. Brennan, I think, had some really good moments on the wing as well. He'll be competing for time. So in a game that the result doesn't go Atlanta's way, I think there are a lot of things that give Ronnie Dyla and his coaching staff a lot of good things to think about going forward.
And some alarm bells, too. And
yeah, a little bit.
You know, you'll have some things to address. But, you know, it's interesting. Ronnie Dyla has talked a lot, and there's been some reports even this week that these first couple weeks of training have been very intense.
Mm-hmm.
Lengthy training sessions. Fitness, a very, very big thing to Ronnie Dyla.
Yeah.
Team didn't look like they were 45 minutes fit today. That's to be expected this early, but
maybe they looked a little tired?
Well, but here's the other half of that. Ronnie Dyla has also talked extensively about morale.
Yeah.
Making sure his players are happy. Real test here now for Ronnie Dyla. He's got something that he could use to get his team's attention.
Mm-hmm.
How hard does he push?
Mm-hmm.
How hard does he want to push? Be very curious to see what his post-game remarks are in that regard. I know we're going to hear that a little later.
Yeah, I'm excited to see how he uses a result like this going forward. All right, coming up next on the full-time report, you're going to hear the highlights from the match. You're also going to hear from Ronnie Dyla, and I'm not sure what players as of yet, but John Nelson and Madison Cruz will be joining us on pregame and postgame throughout the season. They'll take care of you in the next segment as you hear the highlights from here at Finley Stadium. Chattanooga FC defeat Atlanta United 2-1. We'll be back on the full-time report right after this.
Welcome back to the full-time report here on the Off the Woodwork podcast section from 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. John Nelson here with you. Madison Cruz hopping on in just a little bit. Let's take a peek at your highlights here from Fort Finley. And first half for Atlanta United, let's jump to the 36th minute. Alexei Moranchuk making his presence felt late in the first half.
Clean trap. He's able to square it to Muyamba, who fires it ahead to Brennan on the far touchline. Pitched in the direction of Edwards now, who's behind the back line. He dribbles to the top of the 18. He squares to Moranchuk. Shot! And it's tipped wide of the near post and out for a corner by Jakupovic.
The shot by Moranchuk off the post in the 36th, and we would make it to 45 minutes goalless. Second half, a couple of moments to kind of focus on. First one would go to the 80th minute, and it was an opportunity for the number one draft pick to get on the board for Atlanta United in a 1-0 lead.
Saba will walk into the near corner to send this in. Here it comes into the goal mouth. Header! Score! Atlanta United solves the problem. In the 80th minute, they get a goal on a set piece to take a 1-0 lead here in Chattanooga.
Header in a crowd for Ronan Wynn. Congratulations to Ronan Wynn for getting on the score sheet here with Atlanta United. But 3 minutes later, Jesus Ibarra, and I want to bring Maddie in after we play this particular highlight to get her thoughts on this one in general, and then we'll get into the highlights in general in the match on the whole. But 83rd minute, it was 1-0 Atlanta United. Then it turned into 1-1 and a match that had 7 minutes to go with a 1-1 score.
The left back pitching it down the middle. It's over the head of Gregerson. That falls into the run of Ibarra. Cohen off his line, and Ibarra walks it into the net. Chattanooga equalizes in the 83rd minute.
Maddie, it was the return of Jesus Ibarra, and the goal was registered in the 83rd minute. It almost went into the 84th minute when it finally went into the back of the net.
He had a little bit of a hopscotch moment to find the back of the net. It was wide open as Josh Cohen came off of his line. So it was a wide open net. Just took a couple of steps and then just knocked it right back in to make it 1-1.
Kind of thought about it for a little bit, dribbled a little longer. It's like he was almost running out the clock like we see in the NFL, where it's just like, okay, you slide down, you get your first down, clock continues to run. Jesus Ibarra just kind of went for a little bit, then went for a little bit more, then finally put it in. Chris Nugent after the match wasn't all that concerned, the Chattanooga FC head coach, about it. But, you kind of were a little anxious that you're running out of room, but then Jesus Ibarra makes it 1-1. In the 83rd. We'll bring Maddie back here in just a little bit. A couple minutes later, Chattanooga FC would take the lead, and it would be courtesy of Trialist 31. I don't know if Mike and Jason gave Trialist 31 the Trialist of the Match award. I don't know, but Trialist 31 makes it 2-1 for Chattanooga FC with a couple of minutes to go.
On the right wing, angle to Cohen's left from 30 yards out. This is sliced. The penalty spot bounces all the way through. Tip, score! Chattanooga takes the lead. Atlanta United unable to clear a bouncing ball on their 18, and Chattanooga has scored a potential game winner.
Then one last chance for Atlanta United, and it would be Edwin Mosqueda. Big second half from Michael Beretta in net, and this was the shining moment for him as Edwin Mosqueda tried to chase an equalizer down 2-1.
And it's thrown in where Schleish will send it past Wynn to Saba, back to Wynn at the right side of the 18. It's crossed the back post. Mosquera volley. What a save by Beretta to save the game, tipping it over the crossbar.
Four second half saves for Michael Beretta, including that one. 2-1 would be your final score. We bring in Maddie Cruz to talk about the 90 minutes here on the Full Time Report. So looking at things from a 90-minute perspective, what did you think?
It was interesting finally getting to see everyone back on the pitch after so long, it feels like. Not really too long if you really look at
I know.
The calendar, though. But finally good to get back into the swing of things and getting to see all these players back on the pitch. First half, it was a little interesting. It was just very much Atlanta United. As you saw, a lot of different things happen. Luke Brennan out there showing his chops mm-hmm. on the right side. And just trying to see a couple different things, especially saw different partners. We saw different people in different positions just kind of working out and seeing what works. So first half, Brad Guzan didn't have a lot to do in the first half. So it was very much getting a feel for the things. Not a lot really happened in the first half.
We'll hear from Brad Guzan and Ronnie Dyla coming up in the next segment here on the Full Time Report. But when you look at who Atlanta United had out there, first 45, second 45 relationships, who were you looking forward to seeing the most, and what were some of your takeaways personnel-wise from Atlanta United, first 45, second 45, and 90 minutes?
I'm really excited to see Click and Sleash actually get the chance to be the partnership in the midfield there. I just think the flair that they're both going to bring. We saw Sleash in the second half. I thought Sleash did a very, very good job in the second half, just closing things down. I was over on field level. I heard him be very, very vocal. Very vocal, which I don't think it's something that we're not used to, but I feel like he doesn't do it as often as I think he should sometimes, because he has that voice and he can be that command in the midfield and he knows where things need to go. He can be that person that can be solid and can direct things as they go. And I thought Sleash did a great job of that. I thought he had a great second half. I'm excited to see what Click can do. Click felt really good in the first couple of minutes of the first half. He kind of fell off in the second. But, that happens. It's the first game in preseason. You haven't had a full 90-minute game, much less 45 minutes of an actual full game. So it's your first taste of that. But I'm really interested to see what those two can do in the midfield. I think that partnership's going to be interesting. And I also really enjoyed watching Luke Brennan. I mean, we've seen him all the time with the twos. I mean, just what he can do and seeing his development and his growth. But he was pulling out some little 1-2 touches, some one-step overs. He was going nuts over there on the right side.
For those of us of a certain vintage, if you look at a turntable for spinning a record, he was at 78 RPMs. He was in fifth gear a lot down the right-hand side, and that was fun to watch. For me personally, and when you'll hear from both Brad Guzan and Ronnie Dyla about this, I made a point to ask them about the three young players at the back in the first 45 minutes, where you had Dominic Chongqui, you had Noah Cobb, and you had Matthew Edwards. And for me, I'm interested in seeing their games continue to evolve under what Ronnie Dyla wants them to do. too. I was intrigued by what that was going to look like in the first 45, and I'm also intrigued about how the development will continue to be.
We've seen them develop kind of in front of our own eyes, especially with the academy, then going up to the twos, getting the chance to then play for the first team occasionally as they come in and out. I think you're just seeing some maturity with all those players. I mean, Dominic Tchonkwy comes to mind completely, because if you watch his development, I mean, head coach Steve Cook has talked to both me and you on the SDH Network about it, about how in the academy, maybe Dominic wasn't, you know, as good as he could have been, and then you get him to the second team, and he's like night and day different. He's taken on like a whole bunch of older players that are way older than he is, and he's not afraid of it. And I think one thing, too, to look at Dominic is how quick he is on building, but then how quick he can be getting back and being a defender and getting back and not afraid to step in other people's faces and win the ball back. And we've seen that with the twos. I saw it today a little bit in that first half, too. Dominic is a really, really solid player, and I'm really excited to see him continue to grow this season, whether that is a little bit with the first team as he is on a homegrown deal, or that's in with the twos. This will probably see him a little bit more with the twos. I'm just excited to see his development and his growth, and especially Noah Cobb as well. I mean, Noah Cobb and Matt Edwards, you know, they jumped up to the first team. We're seeing them get minutes. Noah, every time I'm at training, I hear him be so vocal, no matter what it is. It can be the simplest of training simulations, whatever they're doing. You always hear him. And I think that's so important, especially for a young player like Noah to go ahead and have that voice. That's huge.
Is it just me, or has Dominic Tchonkwy grown even more in the offseason?
He has. I think it was an academy game that me and Jason did that he walked out and we were like, who is that? And it was Dominic.
Who are you? You're 6'7" now.
He's grown a couple of sizes.
I know. And it's like I said, I am intrigued at how things will continue to develop with the younger players and under the tutelage of Ronnie Dyla. When we come back, we'll hear from Brad Gazan and head coach Ronnie Dyla for Atlanta United. Atlanta United, first matchup in the preseason here in Chattanooga. It's your wrap-up on the full-time report on the Off the Woodwork podcast section from 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. Welcome back to the full-time report here on the Off the Woodwork podcast section, 92.9 The Game in the Odyssey app. John Nelson here, Madison Cruz over there, Jason Longshore joining us in just a little bit. Time to hear from some of the principals here from Finley Stadium in Chattanooga. First and foremost, let's hear from the man who's between the pipes in the first 45 minutes. Welcome back, Brad Gazan.
Did you learn anything today?
Anytime you play a real opponent, be able to see things that maybe don't come out in training as much. The pitch certainly played a decent part in the quality, I think, of the execution of whether it's passes, touches, turns, crosses, all that. But with that being said, a couple of half chances in the attacking third. Looking at some of the things that we've been talking about over the last 2 weeks in terms of having them play around us, being compact, being together, even on the transitional moments. I can remember one, Clicky getting back, Tristan getting back. So those are big plays that probably go unnoticed, but things that we've been talking about and working on over the last 2 weeks. So a good exercise for sure.
Coach said he wanted to hear more communication out there. We're up in the press box. We can't hear anything. How was that down on the field?
I heard a drum. So okay. I heard a drum. Guys communicate in different ways, right? Some, I communicate with my voice just because it keeps me in the game. It helps me organize, helps me stay connected to the guys in front of me. Guys are talking out in the field. I think it's, what he's referring to is in moments when there needs to be an authoritative voice of urgency, of organization, there needs to be assertiveness coming from guys passing on messages to others.
Did you hear any of that?
I mean, listen, there was a horn at some point. There certainly can always be more. More is always better. I think it was a good start, but certainly one that we will look to improve on.
How did Dom look out there to you?
Yeah, I mean, listen, obviously he's a young pro. He's somebody that obviously has a very raw ability to play the game. And I think now, especially going into this year, his understanding of the game itself, of the position, of numerous positions of where he's going to be utilized, will be important for him to pick up quickly in terms of reading the game, understanding the game. And so, again, I think this was a good step for him and one that he'll be able to build on.
And then Mateus, you mentioned him earlier, how important. I see this in preseason, how important is a guy like him?
Yeah, for sure. Going forward, he'll be huge for us. Somebody with his experience, somebody that knows the league, his character, his willingness to work on both sides of the ball, understanding, you know, at times games calls for dirty running and you got to do it as a central midfielder, and he's one that will certainly do it. And so, he'll be important for us this year for sure.
Piggybacking off of Sid, two on the right-hand side were two youngins that you've been able to see, and Matt and Noah.
Yep.
What's it been like to see their game continue to grow and evolve to where they're out there now the way they are?
Yeah, again, Maddie, similar to Dom, he's probably a few steps ahead of Dom in terms of learning the game and learning the position and understanding different situations that arise in a game. And that for him is going to be a huge step forward. We know he's got the ability, the athletic ability, the ability to defend and get forward and all those things that come with playing as a fullback. But understanding the game and then being extremely tenacious and difficult to play against for an opposing winger. And you look at Noah, Noah, it's a big year for him in terms of wanting to kick on. Obviously he's been in and around the first team now for quite some time. He's got a handful of games under his belt and it's time for him to really leave a lasting mark, on our group and say, right, I want to be here. I want to be in the 11. I want to do this, and I'm a guy that can be counted on.
I think you may have made a reference to this before with Mateus, but when they were getting forward and trying to create overlaps going forward, that's going to leave some spaces behind.
Yeah.
Were those spaces covered pretty well today?
Yeah, I thought we did a good job, especially in the attacking third. You talk about crossing the ball into the box. They win the first contact, the first header. They clear it. We pick up the second ball, recycle it, cross it again, play a ball in. You know what I mean? Those second, third attacks that are coming off of regains from 25, 30, 35 yards, those were really good. I can remember one play, Noah stepped in and just saw out the play, right? And I think Luke's ended up hooking it over his shoulder to the goalkeeper, the near post. But just seeing those plays out and keeping attacks going. You watch Bournemouth today. They're a team that when they defend and they swarm, they go in big numbers in big groups. It's something that we want to be able to do is sustain attacks. And so if we don't score on the first chance, maybe it's the second or the third or the fourth, but it's putting teams under enormous amounts of pressure and stress and causing them difficulties.
And in the transitions coming back,
yeah,
when the attacks faltered out, were the spaces covered well, do you think?
I think so. I think there was one or two where, again, the pitch probably played a part in a loose touch. Ball gets nicked, and not that those are spaces where now we got a transition, but it's, yeah, we're comfortable in possession. All of a sudden, it's a loose touch, a bad touch, and now it's we're scrambling to get back in.
Now we bring in Maddie to get her perspective on things. You were on the field, and you got the temperature changes that were involved. It started out in the sun. Then by the time you were done, you couldn't feel your fingers. Understandable in 40-degree weather up here in Chattanooga.
It felt great in the sun. The sun, it was amazing. I was having the best time when I was standing in the sun in the first 45. It was when we moved and then the sun disappeared and I was in the shade. I was trying to type on my phone. And you know when your hands get so cold that you can't type anymore?
Uh-huh.
That's what it was. And I just couldn't type anymore.
And there were a lot of folks who wanted to take your advice who were over here in the western stands where the press box is here at Finley Stadium. They moved out to the berm. They were over there in the grass and in the sun underneath the scoreboard in the second 45, taking your advice. So when you were on the field and you got to see things with Atlanta United close up, You got to see Brad Gazan on the field in that first 45. What were some of your thoughts with Brad with his first 45 in action for 2025?
Especially in the first 45, I mean, I thought one thing Atlanta did well is they made Brad not have to do too much. It was only a little bit towards the end. He had a couple of moments where he had to come out and make a couple big saves against Chattanooga. Because Chattanooga, I felt like at the first couple of minutes, they were a little bit disconjointed, didn't know what was happening. And then you saw them really grow into the match. And that's when you noticed that they were making bigger breaks down the field. And that's when they challenged Brad a little bit more. But other than that, Brad didn't have to do too much, and he was pretty solid in between the posts. But I think in general, when just being down field level, I always love it, and it's so different. And I love whenever I get the chance to go down field level because you get to hear a little bit more. And with the way Finley Stadium is constructed, you just get to hear everything, and I love it. You know, I've been up here a couple of times doing other things with WPSL and everything, and I love this stadium. And yeah, I got to hear so many different players that maybe you normally don't get to see and how they take charge. I saw Tristan Moyamba actually sit there and point things out, especially when the ball went over bounds and it was a goal kick for Chattanooga. He was out there directing traffic with Dom. He was out there directing traffic with Noah. He was helping point things out and trying to create things. And that's something I don't think we've seen from Tristan a lot. And I loved getting to hear him take charge and actually taking up and trying to point things out, helping things flow. And I really liked that from him. And I think because just of everything and just seeing the way that this season is going to be going under a new manager, I love seeing that from Tristan Moyamba, getting in there and not being afraid to let his voice be heard. And that was fun for me. I love also seeing Alexi Maranchu get a little bit more in him. This is his first preseason with Atlanta United, so getting that opportunity to learn a little bit more than what you already know about your players. It's a chance to build more trust with everyone that you know. I think Alexi, just some of his touches, he's insane. I mean, seriously. I mean, I said it last season. He just has some of these touches, and I'm like, whew. But I like seeing Alexi get a little bit more under himself in this match, too. And then I mentioned it, too. Luke Brennan, obviously, I think doing a great job. And then as well with Matt, you know, Matt had that little knock at the very beginning. Mm-hmm. We all were sitting over there. We actually couldn't see anything because it was all across the other way. So I didn't get a chance to see who it was. And then finally we figured out it was Matt. But Matt came up for a second, then came back in. And then Dominic as well, who, by the way, I do need to clarify, is on a Atlanta United 2 deal.
Okay.
Now next season he will then be moved to a homegrown deal. So you'll get to see him a lot with the 2s, and he might get called up for some of those for Leagues Cup, possibly Open Cup, depending on what happens there. But you'll see Dominic Chunkwe a lot more if you follow the 2s this season, also a little bit in those cup battles. But next season, he will be a homegrown for 2026 for the 5 Stripes. But I think you got to see a lot of those younger players really come forward and take that step. You got to see a lot of the older players who've been here for a little bit more get a little bit more under their feet. I was really impressed with Tristan Moyamba. I thought he had a really good first 45, and I thought it was cool getting to see him and hear him actually take charge.
All right, so we'll get your thoughts on the players that came in the second 45 coming up on the flip side of this next interview, and this is where we get to hear from the man who's in charge on the touchline, Atlanta United head coach, Ronnie Dyla.
You talked on Thursday about wanting to see the reactions from players in certain situations. I'm curious, what is your reaction after seeing them give up 2 goals in 7 minutes after taking the lead?
First of all, now it's good to see all the players, get some answers, get to know them. They get to know me. A lot of information in 14 days. I think it was an even game. I think we in the second half, it was the best half we had. I think we played better in the second half than we did in the first half. I think the organization in the second half was very good. I think we had full control, but we gave away an easy ball in behind and a set play. So that's disappointing. Always disappointed when we lose. I think that application was good. They did tried. And as we knew, that there were things we were going to work on. But also a lot of good things. They didn't create almost nothing. There was the 2 chances they scored on. They had 1 in the first half with Brad there, without to save. So, and we had 2-3 chances ourselves. So there was an even game. And in the end, we lost because of details. I get irritated to lose. That's in my body. But at the same time, I understand that it's the first game, and we are here to practice. That's what we are. But we want to win at the same time, and that's why we are a little bit disappointed.
I bring it up that goal scored so quickly after y'all did, because as I'm sure y'all saw reviewing film of last season, this was a problem for Atlanta United. It would give up goals almost as soon as it scored or switch off. So, I mean, is that something that worries you right now, or is it just we'll work through it during preseason and not worry about it?
I don't worry about anything. I know where we're going to go. I painted that picture for 14 days, and I need time to get that into everybody. So, you know, we need to learn from what we had done last year and try to improve the trends that is happening. But, you know, it's not worrying me. I can't say that. This is change of attitude and mentality. So over time, so hopefully the way we train and the way we talk and the way we evaluate what we're doing, then these kind of things will be less of.
In defending the middle of the pitch and creating overlaps in attack, did you like what you saw today in those areas?
I think when we did it, I think it was good. I think we had a lot of crosses today, especially in the second half, that we need to get more out of. We had a big chance in the end there with Edwin. But it's good. If you come to a lot of opportunities inside the 16, then a lot of crosses, then it's about timing in the last third. So that's that was good. But we need to do it more often. I think we play too much backwards. It's always safe, so like I get bored watching it. But at the same time, it's a start. I knew it also. I've seen it in training. I've seen it from last year. So we need to work on forward, breaking lines, playing forward. But I think, as I said, the discipline, especially in the second half, was very good. I think we were in, did what we should do defensively. But the two goals is coming out of nothing. I don't understand. The first is, like I said, just a long ball, and is some misunderstanding there or something. And then the second is a settler, and that's something different into it. But I'm sure you have right that when we 1-0 up, then we have to kill the game and win it.
Your all's goal came out of set-piece. Sabo with a great ball into Ronan Wynn, who met it with a great header. Are you encouraged by that, just to see the set play succeed in that moment?
Yeah, that's good. You know, we last year we were 11-18, I think, in the set play. So that's also a big thing. You know, where it's 1-1. So we need to get, if we get 18-11 to us instead, an opposite, then of course it will do a big difference into the season. It can be talking about 4 or 5 spots higher on the league ranking. So that's an important thing as well. So it was positive things, and it was also negative that we conceded that goal.
Were there any individual performances or partnerships that you saw that you were encouraged about?
Yeah, I think Luke was positive in the first half. I think he did some of was rapid, and things happened. What else? I think Ronan come as the first game was good. He get through that. I think that was positive. And Cayman also, he worked really hard. He didn't come to the biggest chances, but I like the way he understands the game and he understands what he's doing. So that's he was one of the most important in that way to put the pressure right. So it was some good things.
Did you say Ronan? I'm sorry, she was talking. I couldn't hear.
Yeah, Ronan. Yeah. Okay. The right back. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, scored.
Couldn't hear. And then it was very noticeable, I guess, with the midfielders in the first half. You had Tristan Biyombo dropping back almost as that third center back at times. Was that something that y'all specifically worked on to kind of have that extra body back there playing out?
When we play against two strikers, or we are playing against low pressure, I want to have that variation into the game. It's about see and exploit overload. That's something we have to work more on. But when we do that, we need to drag out some of their midfielders. We are playing out that, but we always play the outside all the time instead of try to get through the center of the pitch, so we get Alex on the ball more, and Click has to go more on the ball. We see he has a really understanding of the game, and he can connect. So these things we have to work more on. Switching play, when we go wide, can we get to the opposite side? So just have to get in your head that I hope we meet them one year now, and then we see if we are going to have a different performance. So it's a start.
Just a few more. Coach, in the first 45, your back four, you had Dominic, you had Noah, and you had Matthew Edwards. A lot of the younger players that have come up through the system or are still part of the system, what did you think about their play in the first 45 and how they're trying to understand and embrace what you're trying to get across?
It's very good application, as I said, to the rest of the group. I think they also come okay from it, but they need games, they need experience. That's why you play in these kind of games. And feel how it that means something to win and lose and draw, because that's the difference when you play second team football. It's like everything is okay, and here's not okay, and here you need to win, here you play with pressure all the time, and that's what they need in this kind of situation. And that's not only them, the whole group needs that, to kind of relax and to be focused and determined in what we're going to do when you need to do something. So this is very good learning for everybody involved, and especially the young players.
All right. Well, we were all in there for the scrum around the table.
It was warm too.
Yes, it was. It absolutely was. So, first thoughts from a first press conference situation involving Ronnie Dyla.
It was good. I thought he was honest, and that's how it needs to be. Especially it's preseason. You know that things aren't going to be as neat and as clean as you want them to be. I mean, you're fixing the bugs. It's like, you know, you get a new software, it's a little buggy, you need to update it. I think that's kind of what it is. It's preseason. You get to work out some of the kinks, and you still get to try things out. And I think I even said it down there, you know, hey, yes, it's a loss, it's 2-1, but hey, you're fixing those mistakes now, and you're hopefully not going to be doing that in the regular season. And that's the most important thing, is to make those mistakes and to be okay with making those mistakes, and then you learn from it. And, you know, it's hard because, I mean, even for me, Ronnie Dyla said, I thought the second half was a lot better than the first, and I completely agree with him. I thought the first half was good, but I thought the second half, you saw a lot more opportunities of developing in those moments. I mean, I thought the connection between Wayne and Saba on that right side was dynamic. I mean, the way that they were connecting there, Saba being sharp today as always, some of his crosses, just beauties coming in. I mentioned Sleash too. I really liked the way they all were catching. Ephra had a couple of great stops as well, first of all. And you also got to see Steon Gregerson wearing the captain's armband, which is something that we haven't seen. And it was a really interesting 45, but I agree with Dyla. I think it was a lot better than the first. And I think that's something to take away from. And, you know, it is a little scary because last season we saw it a lot. We saw Atlanta United take the lead. And then only a 2-3 minutes later, we saw the opponent immediately coming right back and tying it up. And then after that, the momentum has already shifted that way. And then off of a set piece, Chattanooga is able to knock it in to make it 2-1. It's a little bit worrisome, but I think he said it best. It's working out those kinks. It's, you know, you don't like to lose. You never like to lose, but hey, you know.
I like to lose, yeah.
Absolutely. It's my favorite thing.
Yes,
you know?
Absolutely.
No one likes it. But I think it's something he's even said when we've chatted with him, when he's talked to media too. It's he wants his players to know that he's not afraid for them to make mistakes and that it's okay. And it was really interesting, especially too, when you talked about the younger players with you and your question. It's okay to make the mistakes. It's a good learning experience for a lot of these players and getting that game under their belt. And so now when they go on to other games, they have that experience.
And we will ask Jason coming up after this particular timeout what he thinks about what happens and what has to be better next week in Birmingham. Full-time report, John and Maddie. Jason coming up here to put a bow on it all in the Off the Woodwork podcast section from 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at BollAndBranch.com with code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Last segment, full-time report from Finley Stadium. Fort Finley here in downtown Chattanooga, Atlanta United, Chattanooga FC. Chattanooga FC winners on the day, 2-1. But as we bring in Jason Longshore here for the final segment, some of your takeaways now that you've had a chance to kind of just sit and ruminate a bit.
Yeah, it was not as bad as the result was, but the result does have some meaning here, I think. You've got to find a way, even in the context of preseason and building fitness, and working through a little bit of a new system. I mean, I think at times we overrate how deep a system is and what it means. It's not like a playbook, but it is a way of playing. I think we saw it's more in the first half than the second, maybe the foundation of the way we want to see the team play. I think the second half they were maybe more effective in general, but maybe it was just a little more chaotic. The goals that were conceded are not good. I think, as I said at the end of the broadcast, I think this is the kind of game that Ronnie Dyla would never want to have his team have, but it's great to have it in game one in preseason because you get to use it as fuel to push this team even further the rest of preseason, and that's going to be the key. I'll ask you guys the same thing. Actually, I think, Maddie, you might have a question for me first before we jump into that. I don't want to jump ahead of you. But I'm going to ask you guys the same thing that I asked Mike Conti to finish things up here in just a sec.
I think for me, for you, is I know when we first got here and we first started, I mean, you mentioned that new system. You saw a little bit of it in training on Thursday, but we even saw it in the game, too, when you pointed it out to me on the field. You saw Click kind of stepping back and acting more as like a center back when needed, stepping back and being that extra support, especially with that rotation, what we've seen. I'm interested just to hear your thoughts on how you thought that was working with the team, and interested to see what your thoughts are in expanding that and moving forward, and what things need to be changed in order to fix it and hopefully see it work a little bit better as we get into the rest of preseason.
Well, and that's specifically about the buildup. And I think in the first half, we saw the team, and that's where I go back to that identity and the way that they want to play. I think the first half, they were very, very focused on how they wanted to play, maybe to the detriment of trying to win the game. It was about, we need to do this, we need to work on this. And you could see the progressions, whether it was the back four in the build out against Chattanooga, who kind of was playing in a little bit of a 4-1-4-1 in those moments, but the four behind Nagelstad in the first 30 minutes were pretty aggressively stepping high. So when it was harder to play with four to get through Chattanooga's sometimes one, sometimes three, okay, that's where Click started to drop between the center backs. And we've seen players do that over their time with Atlanta United. Santiago Sosa did that quite a bit. Jeff Lorenowitz did that quite a bit back in the day, the six dropping between the two. It was only a couple of times that I saw the other variation that I saw in training on Thursday start to play out in terms of having the defensive midfielder drop to the side of the center backs and release to the opposite side. So we'd kind of drop in on the back side of the buildup. They'd go to the right, for example, to the right back, work it around to the six, who became a left-sided center back in that scenario, and then they'd release up the other way. It happened a couple of times. What that shows is they're listening, they're paying attention, they're absorbing the information, but it's how you then use it in games. That wasn't as sharp in the first 45. The acknowledgement of what they were trying to do, there. The effectiveness, maybe not quite as there. The second 45 was just more chaotic in general, and I think you saw Atlanta maybe produce more and look better in moments, but they still conceded twice, and they ended up giving up two goals after getting the lead. You're not playing to preserve the result here. You're not going to do anything. In a normal game with a 1-0 lead in the 80th minute, you're going to change things up a little bit. You're going to get a little more defensive. Here, you're not doing that. And you're up against a team with guys who are trying to earn paychecks, you know? So it's a different mentality here than it would be in a regular season game. It feels weird in that I feel more positive about it than the result would show. I think at times in preseason, we way overinflate results. This is about the overall level of performance, which was pretty good. Mm-hmm. It can be better. It needs to be better next week. And I'll lead into the question
there you
that
go.
I want both of you
there
to
it
answer.
Is.
I ask Mike. I'll ask you guys. And we'll start with you, John. Mm-hmm. What do you want to see be better next week? One thing that you want to see improve from right now to Birmingham next Saturday?
Not as much back passing, not being afraid to engage in the play and go forward, because it seemed like there were times where, okay, I think we need to preserve possession, so I'm going to pass it backward and go all the way back to Brad at times. We saw that as a part of an outlet mm-hmm. to preserve possession. Go ahead and go forward and see what you can do when it comes to what you're trying to learn with this system from Ronnie Dallas. So for me, it's advancing play and moving forward instead of going for that back pass and necessarily being, and I'm going to go ahead and use air quotes, being safe with your activity.
That's the step forward in what we were talking about with buildup, from doing the drill and getting the understanding to executing it and getting out of your defensive half, out of the buildup phase, into getting forward. Maddie, what about you?
I think mine would be kind of pigging back off of that, but to me it would be, I felt like there were a couple of moments, especially in the plays, just getting closer to goal, getting into the box and trying to get a shot. It almost felt like it was too many touches, almost like it was, and you see the opportunity, you take it and see what happens.
You want folks to be a little more unselfish?
A little bit.
Or I mean, more selfish, I mean?
I would agree. Because there were a couple of moments where, you know, Luke Brennan had a great opportunity, but instead took a couple extra steps to then try the cross in. But I felt like he had a good opportunity to maybe just bring it inside and maybe trying a shot himself. I thought there were a couple of moments, but I mean, to me as well, I think it's about building a little bit more of that trust. And I think that's something that they talked about this week, especially on Tuesday and Thursday. I think you're seeing the blueprints of it. You see a lot of those combinations that we did see and how the trust is there. I mean, you see it too with a lot of the guys from the twos. They play together a lot. They already mm-hmm. have that trust. They have that bond there. A lot of guys from the first team, they've played together a little bit. Sleesh and Jay, they've played together all season long, so they have that connection. I think it's now just about building on top of that and getting a little bit more of that trust from everyone around you and being comfortable and trying to connect and not being afraid to maybe take it yourself, maybe picking out a couple opportunities where, hey, you know what, maybe the right opportunity is for me to pass it up to Saba on the right, and then we go. It's I think picking your moments and then also knowing when I need to step back and being like, hey, I need to make this extra pass to go. I felt like it was a little bit of inconsistent sometimes and a little bit of like almost trying to do a little too much to try a pass that maybe, or a cross you didn't necessarily need to do.
That's preseason. I think the just overall level of form and decision making, yeah, not as sharp as it needed mm-hmm. to be. That part's normal to me. Yeah. What I want to see improve is more leadership on the field. You talked about the communication, which, that needs to improve as well. I think we saw it in the first goal that Ibarra put away, miscommunication, mm-hmm. some issues there. That needs to change. but I want to see more players. It's not take accountability, but maybe take responsibility, maybe is a better way to put it, on the field in some of those moments where it's not quite going the way that you want. Fix it and get the guys around you to fix it. And I want to see that continue to change. I think this team is going to be different under Ronnie Dyla. Brad Kazan is obviously a big leader. He's in goal. That's always one of the challenges of having your captain in goal. It's got to be players on the field. Click has that kind of experience to step up and be commanding. I think Sleash is evolving into that. He's got to get more comfortable in doing it and earn the respect, because that's the thing about trust. Is people have to trust. If I'm going to yell at you and I'm going to hold you accountable and demand better play or demand you to do something, I better be doing it too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you got to have that consistency and deliver in big moments. I think Saba has been one who can do that, and he's got the track record to back it up. I just want to see more of that across the board.
I think you bring up Sleash, and I would agree with you. I think Sleash can become that person to really take charge and step up, because I think I pointed to even Sophia when we were down on the field, Sophia Cupertino, who's our photographer for SDH Network. I pointed to her just how commanding he was. He was trying to position, he was trying to tell Wayne where to go. Then he was pointing to Riley and pushing him up a little bit more for that throw-in that Chattanooga had, just trying to kind of push everyone in. You also had Saba, too. He was that directing there, and I think that's what I think Sleash, if he grows a little bit more into that, I think Sleash would be the perfect person to do it, because I think he has the knowledge. He knows where it needs to be. He's very, very technical with the IQ of everything. He knows everything, and I think he would be such a smart player to be that for this team. And I think he can. I think he's shown it a couple of times. I think it's just having it a little bit more consistently. I do think Saba is also a great one as well, because he brings that passion. I mean, there were times when maybe a cross wouldn't go the right way or anything, you would just see the passion on his face. Yeah. And that's something we've seen from him since he's been here. He has that fire.
It's making sure it's in a positive way, and the body language and the reactions are positive. That's all part of leadership. That's all part of responsibility. So hopefully you'll start to see more and more of that. John, final thought?
I'm ready for Birmingham. What's the plan for Birmingham, sir?
We got lots of things going on in Birmingham. Anything else from you, Maddie?
Ooh, I'm ready to keep it going. We're on the little preseason tour now. Let's go to the next stop.
There you go.
Birmingham.
On to the next.
So we head west to Birmingham next Saturday. It is a 4:30 start time. We won't be on the radio. We will have a full-time report after the game here on Off the Woodwork. Make sure you're subscribed. You get all of our interviews from 92.9 The Game. Like this week, Ronnie Dyla and Brad Kazan were on with Dukes and Bell on Thursday. I was on as well. Atlanta Soccer Tonight is in Off the Woodwork as well. So you'll get all of that content. Make sure you're subscribed wherever you get your podcast, or you can listen on the Odyssey app. We won't have the game broadcast there. You'll be able to listen to Mike and I on the atlutd.com/live stream that will be live at 4:30 Eastern Time, 3:30 Central Time. We will have a post-game show over at Monday Night Brewing in Birmingham for those of you traveling. That'll be an SDH Network show with Birmingham Legion folks involved, with Atlanta United media involved. Everybody will be breaking everything down there, but we'll also have a full-time report for you after that game. The games down at IMG and the Orlando game has been added to that. We are working on streams for it. Stay tuned. We'll keep you posted. You would be able to watch those at atlutd.com/live. And then we'll be back on the radio for February 15th against Dallas. That will be a closed-door friendly the week before the season opener at the Children's Healthcare of Atlanta Training Ground, but we will have a radio broadcast and the stream as well. That is a noon kickoff for that one. So stay tuned for all of that. I'll be back on Atlanta Soccer Tonight on Tuesday, hopefully with some audio from training on Tuesday. We'll see who speaks there. Be very interested to see what the response is to this one. Atlanta United falls to Chattanooga 2-1. Thank you for listening on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
You've been listening to the Full Time Report, a complete wrap-up of today's Atlanta United game.
Tune in for complete match day coverage all season long. The home for our Atlanta United is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.